Himmler, Reel 3. Yes, you were saying about fainting.
Yes, I once on the so lucky, not once, girls were fainting because they were hungry. How long can you stand? You have to stand 5 hours till the Germans come and counted you, whatever weather it was. And of course, once I also already gave in. So I was in this ambulance, they took me. And also, again, lucky, because they used to also come and take in people, ill people, put them in the gas chamber, but I was lucky, they didn't come when I was there. That was just, for me, fated, I think. And that was the time where the English, or American, I don't know, or Russian, I think English or American, they were, you could hear bombing. We thought they came to bomb the crematoriums. And we are praying to God. We should go together with them to see them dead. But it didn't happen. You see, they were bombing something which was to do with the war with the army. Anyway.
Well, yeah. Was it quite clear to you about the gassings when you arrived?
Yes.
What was happening?
I tell you why. Because the camp was alight. Because the chimney was burning night and day. They were burning bodies. And I did not know what it is. So that's how I got wise. People tell me. They told me what it is. That's why I was trying to survive, running from there to here. You know what I mean? Otherwise, I wouldn't try. If I would know that they send people to work, what do I care where I am? But that was the fight already.
And you, it was interesting you saying about how you were selected to sing at the parties. What sort of were these for the capos?
Yes.
Or the,
yes,
the did couples. The SS go
yes.
as well? Or
yes, the SS. I don't think they were SS men. They were just the gendarmes or something. They were dancing and all. They went to bed afterwards. They were the capos, yes. Or the Juden, block elders. There was the capo actually. I used to call the block elders. I don't use capo, but they were the capo. And one day, I wanted to go to the block 30, and I can hear that Mengele is there. And that time I already was with that Bella crowd. I met her there. You see, I went to Auschwitz before her. She came later. And she happened to be in that block. She was put into that block 30. Because a lot of the girls already disappeared from there, which I was running away all the time. When I heard the Mengele was there, so I said to Bella, no, I met her in block 31. I met her in block 31. I met her, so I went to this block 31. I didn't go to block 30, where we didn't have already banks. If we had the 1,000 women were lying on the bare floor, which was terrible. One night, all the 1,000 women start fighting with each other. Because when you sleep, you give a knock here, knock there, and we start fighting. So the couple came, the block elders, or what I call, she was walking on the chimney, and I was on the edge. She picked me up, she took the clock, and beat me. So I said to Bella, now, if Mengele comes, I'm not fighting anymore. I'm going. I couldn't anymore. How long can you fight, run from one block to another and sing for these devils and all this? What, you know, it was already impossible. And I got swollen from hunger. Some people get like that, but I got swollen. Anyway, to cut the story short, one day Mengele came.
This was block 31, was
yes,
it?
Exactly. One day Mengele came, and we had to stand all 1,000 women on one side of the chimney. He stands with two assessments near the door, and that must be September. It was, sun was still shining, 44. That was 1944. He stood near the door with the two SS men. We had to undress ourselves. We held our clothes on our arms. He takes you by the hand, front and back. One goes back on the other side of the block, and one goes outside. Now, which one is which one? We were going outside, Bella and myself, and we're looking behind, which one are they going, the ones which are fatter or the ones which are very slim? So, what do we do? We can't do nothing. We have to go, we have to go. They took us to a shower. We have to give left our clothes, they took us to a shower. Now, what is going to come out? Is it going to come out water or gas? So we're holding our hands, standing like that and praying to God. Water came out. So we all, you know, we sigh. We sighed or sigh, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, and they gave us clothes, and not underwear, but just a dress, stockings, clogs, and coat. I asked the woman who was, and she said, "Well, how lucky you are, you're going to work, you know." So I knew already, because they're giving us clothes, and we didn't have no gas, so I said, "Well, could you do me a favor, could you give me something to on the hair?" But the hair was starting to grow so much already, because maybe a year, you see. So yeah, so she gave me a slip. So I tore it, gave half for Bella, for myself, and she gave me another one. We tore it and put ourselves like a nickies, you know, we tied it up on the side, and already we felt a little bit better. And they put us in proper trains, and they took us to a Niederschlesien, a place called Pirschkau. It was a farm in Germany where we were sleeping in barns. There were about 1,000 women, 200 Polish Jewesses and 800 or 600 Hungarian Jewesses. And I was in the barn where we had, there were the pigs, which was better because it was lower, you could warm up quicker. The big barns, it was not so easy. It was a stove there. We had straw, and they gave us blankets. Everyone had a blanket. So you see, me with Bella, one blanket underneath and one blanket we could cover ourselves up. And they treated us already more like people, not like animals. We also, still again, the same thing. We had to stand on the sailor pier in the morning because they had to know if nobody disappeared, I suppose. And from one bar, they used to make also a hospital there where girls were ill because girls were getting ill, very ill. And what we had to do, we had to dig ditches, anti-tank ditches. The tanks should not be able to come from Poland to Germany. That was practically a Polish-German border. Russians were already, in 1944, Russians were already in Poland. You see what I mean? And we're supposed to be the workers. So we knew how the Germans are standing, you see. But still we had to do it. It was very, very difficult. That's what I think I done my best. Because we had to throw the earth, I mean, twice as deep as that. Oh, yes. We had to, and we did, we had the strength. And then winter came. Winter came, and the earth was frozen, so they gave us the axe to, but they couldn't do nothing about it. So in the end, they were blowing up with dynamite, and we had to like straighten out because it was not good enough, you see, so we had to chop, chop, chop. Anyway, I have been always somehow lucky, I don't know, from 1,000 women. The men were working behind us. And a man was going always with a horse and a wagon taking wood. Suddenly he shows me cigarettes, bread, and for the cigarettes I could get soup in the kitchen and food. I don't know. Then she shows me a letter. I should stand there and there, and you put me in the wood to get me out from there. No, I didn't. I didn't know who he was. Well, I mean, look, if I went so far already, so I had a feeling. Now I already had a feeling that I'm going to live through. Only once I had a terrible experience there. Because when we went to this camp, they gave us a tax to hang on the neck with a leather number on it. And when I was washing myself once in the snow, we took snow in from outside and washed ourselves, and I put the tag on the straw and I couldn't find it. So one of the girls found a bit of cartoon and cotton, another one, and we made up this tag. And it was only one old SS man there. And he came and he was checking my, and he beat me. And Bella lives here. She knows, she saw me, she saw the situation. And what can you do? Anyway, what I wanted to say, somehow I survived that now. We were during Christmas there, we had to sing carols for them and all this, so we got this extra bread from them. And then it was must have been the end or beginning of middle of January. They woke us up again in the night, and the ill girls we had to carry in blankets, like four girls every corner, and one girl was holding and the girl was lying in the blanket. And that was, they woke us up in that mountain, and that was called the death march. The snow right up to here, the clocks are getting full of snow, you can hardly walk with this, holding this girls, which whatever it was, it's much too much. They never gave us any food. We are living on snow. One day we stopped in a village, they took two wagons, put the girls, ill girls on the wagons, and we had to push them in the forest, and they finished them off. It was better for them, believe me, it was, because they were helpless anyway.
What did they shoot them? Did they shoot them? Mm-hmm.
And we still walking, no food, no nothing. I already dropped, I was walking on the edge, and I dropped in the ditch. Why was it called death march? Whoever dropped on the road was killed immediately on the spot. I was lucky, I fell into the ditch. I couldn't anymore. And I started moving, and the lorry with soldiers stopped. And they picked me up, put me on the lorry, and the coats what we were wearing had red crosses in the back. So they knew already. They asked me who I am. So where do I want to go? So I said, oh, it's a camp there, walking, women walking, I want to get there. And they realized that I was a Jew. They took me to the camp, but they threw me on the ground from the lorry. Now, we're walking again. It's impossible. It was just incredible. We got in one night to we used to sleep in barns. One night we got to a barn, which was in a forest, and the barn was built from wood. And between the wood, we had spaces. And around there, they had big, I don't know how you call it in English, where they bury potatoes and carrots, because I knew it was food there, because that's what they were doing in Poland, because in the winter we haven't got no transport. They used to open those
Yes, I know what you mean. They're sort of mounds, aren't they?
Yes,
covered,
mounds,
yes.
Yes.
Mm.
And they covered there the food. So I thought to myself, oh, and we could hear already bombing. We could hear bombing, you see, because we're still not far from the Polish border. They're pushing us in, but how far could we go a day? Anyway, so we thought, so I thought to myself, it must be a week, and it's food there. And snow. So I got a drink and I hid myself. I made a hole in the straw near the wall of the barn. And being the youngest one, the girls covered me up, the women covered me up. Bella done the same, but they caught her. Because when they told us to come down, they had bayonets. But the bayonets were only what? Half a meter, and I was much deeper. They caught Bella, but they didn't catch me. So Bella went right up into Bergen-Belsen, walking. But here, I was left, and I could hear on the other side of the barn, a woman is crying, I cannot walk, why do you want to shoot me on the street? Shoot me here. Shoot me here. And he left her there. So in the night, I went over to her, and with my bare hands, it must have been 4 inches or maybe more frozen earth to get into the potatoes or carrots. It was potatoes. We lived on these raw potatoes for 10 days, and we found in every potato another taste, a nut taste, apple, I'm telling you. And that's how we lived over through 10 days, but the stomachs were swelling, we couldn't anymore. We got down and we started walking towards the village. We walked towards the village, a woman was standing there near the gate. So I said to Irma, her name was Irma, and she spoke very good German because they were living in Germany, but the parents were came from Poland, and they had to leave Germany to go to Poland. But she was already a married lady, and she had a little girl, and they took her little girl away from her hands in Auschwitz. Anyway, so she was brokenhearted. So I said to her, ask the woman if to give us some water. Don't ask for food. So she asked if she could have some water, so the woman turned around, and she went back into the house. We're going towards the farm there. We can smell boiling potatoes for pigs or whatever. I saw them. Oh, Irma, some potatoes would be fantastic. We went in there. There were a lot of Poles working there, and they gave us everywhere to put these potatoes, and we wanted to go back to this barn and wait there. It must be soon. Another wicked man. But now we've got boiled potatoes. With snow we can live. As we just put in the potatoes, the two rundowns came and arrested us. This German woman probably phoned. And they're taking us away. They're taking us away. As we are going down, it was a hill, and down below was a town. And suddenly, planes came, and the whole town is on fire. So the two Germans left us and ran. So we didn't go back through the main road, but we went through the fields into the barn. We were there 7 days, living on these cooked potatoes and with this snow. A farmer came with an Alsatian, and the Alsatian was barking so long till we had to come down. And they arrested us again. But anyway, they arrested us again, and they were start taking us from one place to another, from one town to another, and that was already gendarmes, not assessment. On the fourth town, when we got there, you see, they were not German people anymore there. They were running away. They didn't want to be freed by the English or Americans. They wanted to be freed by the Americans and the English, but they were afraid to be by the Russians, because the Russians were giving them what for. What they were doing to them, they were doing to them. It was understandable. I mean, whenever the Germans came to Russia, they were just killing everybody. Anyway, so he asked us, who are we? So we look at each other. So Irma said, we Poles. So we spoke German. We're on the German border, Polish-German border in a camp. The Russians were coming. We didn't want to be by the Russians. We were afraid of the Russians. Our papers were left in the camp. And that's it. He left us. And he went. So we went to one of these houses. We dressed ourselves up. And we got in. I cannot understand how we got into a Polish camp. We got in first to a Polish camp somewhere. And a man there liked Irma. She was a very good looking woman, very attractive. And he said he will help us. He will help us. We got into a certain a town. And we were very afraid to be freed by the Russians, because if they were coming to a place where we would be only two of us, you know, a man is a man. They wouldn't care who we are. So we are trying to be mostly on the in the places where women were there, where people were living there. He recommended us to some woman, a German woman, she had like a motel, a boarding house. And we are cleaning there. If she knew who we were, I don't know. But we said we are Poles. And we told the same story what we told to the gendarme. And we had enough food there. And people are coming, we have to serve them. And one day, two SS men came, and we are both shivering like leaves. We had to serve them. But what we got to know, that Roosevelt died. They were talking among themselves, and Irma spoke very well. I understood, but I didn't speak so well as she did, you see. And we got to know a little bit about what's going on. And so we were very, very upset when we heard that, you see. We said, oh my God, what's going to happen to us now? Anyway. Then again, it's placards were outside that all the foreigners have to meet in that and that place. Again, we march. We got into our Polish camp again, and from one camp to another, till we got out from there. We had some German money already, and we got into a place called Lieben. We went there to a labor exchange. We told them exactly the same story what we said before, that we are Poles, we left the papers in this camp, we are Russian, running away because we didn't want to be freed by the Russians, we are afraid. And and they sent us to a farm, to work on a farm. We were there maybe, I don't know, a month or 3 weeks, whatever. We were very, very hard there. We didn't have the strength, but we had plenty of food there. So we were not starving anymore.
And this was in Germany itself?
That was in Germany. And we were there about a month, I don't know how long, and the Russians came. The Russians came and we had food. And they spoke to us, and our visitor to us, you take what you want from the Germans, but you didn't. That's not afraid. I tell you why. When we were working for this woman in this boarding house, the Russians used to, that was not far of the, from the river Oda. Oda, you call it in English, Odra is in Polish, Oda. And they used to cross over the Oda. They used to ride some German woman, they used to go back because they didn't have no order to go over and stay there, you see. So we are afraid. We didn't want to touch the Germans yet, in case they go. But we stayed there for another fortnight, and we could see. 8th of May, the war was over. So she took a case of clothes. The Germans were giving us themselves. And they didn't know we were Jews. They didn't. They said we Poles. We didn't say anything. What are we going to say? We are scared stiff. Anyway, so she had a case of clothes and I had a case of clothes. They gave us a horse and a cart and we going back to Poland. By the time we got to Poland, the Russians stripped us. They took everything away from us. But they didn't do any harm to us. Anyway, we stopped in a place called Legnica. Do you want to know the story after the war, what happened? We stopped in this town called Legnica. I was with Irma together. No Germans were there because they were scared. We took the most beautiful flat there. Food was scarce. I found a job in a town hall where I had my soup and it was still Russian. Irma got very ill. Her mouth was all bleeding. In the night I was running and looking for some Russian doctors to come. I found two Russian doctors. One was actually colonel and one was the captain, and they both were Jewish, but we didn't say nothing. They're still scared. And they the next day they came with medication. They brought us food. I went back to Poland when Irma was better. Went to Lodz Ghetto. Waited there outside near offices where when you came in, you signed your name that you are alive. Check in the list. Nobody I know is alive anyway. Before they opened the office, I was early there, and a girl who I also met in the working camp was standing with three men. She introduces me to them, and one said, Weiss, because by us we don't say how do, we say your surname. I said, Weiss, have you got a brother called Ignaz? So he says, I am Ignaz. That was her husband. Irma's husband. So I told him that I am with Irma together. We went through quite a lot. She's in the Nisa. She's not very well. And she sent me to look for you. And now I'm going to Aleksandrów, to my town I come from, to see if anybody's alive there. So he sent her straight away a telegram. She said, I can't go yet. I sent her a telegram. I've got to wind something up. Anyway, he came back. By the time I went back to Poland, he was there already. And they looked after me all the time till I come to England. But in Aleksandrów, nobody was alive. I met there one friend, and the picture is in the, what's the name? Because we took a picture and they're keeping it in the museum in
Yad Vashem, would it
no,
be?
No, here in Finchley.
Oh.
Not Sober House, Steinberg Center. They've got a museum there from the 45 boys. But they asked me if I had any, because not everybody's got pictures, you see. It's very unusual. So they've got it there. When I was with my friend after the war, we took the picture, it was in August, and she's dead now, really. She had cancer, and she died. Anyway, I went to the little town my mother came from, where my aunt was living, 5 kilometers from Aleksandrów, where my mother's sister and her children, and she was married to a widower, so his three sons died, and my cousin, I got to know from one of the Polish families, when they came to arrest them, my cousin was 1 year older than I am, she didn't want to go to the lorry, and they killed her then and there. And the lorries, you know, at that time they didn't have no crematorium, they were killing them in lorries.